Welcome to Book Spectrum. This is where we discuss books written by both longtime writers and those of other professions presenting tomes from across the, you know, spectrum. With me is an interesting man. His name is Art Rios. He's a trial lawyer by trade and a self-described student of humanity. In his new book, Let's Talk, Art says technology has taken over all aspects of our life. While convenient for work and play, have we lost the Ferdinand the Bull sensibilities, telling us to stop and smell those proverbial flowers in life? Art says yes, but we have that power to change it. Welcome to Book Spectrum, Art.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here, and I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak with you and, of course, all your listeners.
Well, thank you for being here, Art. What inspired you to put these thoughts about people and technology and, of course, enjoying life on paper? Because a lot of us have those thoughts. We just never thought to put it down. And many of us never thought to actually do it either.
And that's precisely why I did it. I've been thinking about this for many years, and then I found myself with a little extra time during these pandemic times. And I finally decided, no, it's time that I get these ideas on paper, precisely because they're simple. I call universal truths that we know in our hearts, in our minds, but I think we've gotten so caught up with technology, and I don't want to be bashing technology either. It's a grand thing, but we've gotten to a point where we've just made our lives so complicated, and we just keep pushing off the reward to the proverbial bright day when we retire, you know, when then things are going to be great. And I just really have a problem believing that. I think that every day should be lived to the fullest, and there's no reason why we shouldn't, number one. And number two, there's no reason why it needs to be complicated in that regard. The day is divided into 3 8-hour segments. That I always say that there's 8 hours of responsibility, which equate to work, 8 hours of rest, which are super important. What worries me is that everybody seems to have forgotten there's another 8 hours for recreation, for enjoying life, enjoying life's pleasures. And as long as, you know, you pursue them with moderation and responsibly, life can be a grand thing. But I just get a feeling that we've put it off for whatever reason. We've gotten to a point where we decided to put it off for way too long. And my whole goal in the book is to really help and inspire people to live lives that are exciting, easier, and exceptional starting today. Not to put it off for some unknown future when maybe we won't be able, or you don't have all the tools necessary to enjoy it as much as you can.
You're right, Alex. We don't want to denigrate technology, but when I take a walk into a city or perhaps a store, and I'm guilty of this sometimes too, so let's keep that in mind, or even parks, by the way, we see quite a bit of people yapping on the cell phones, texting, or listening to their Walkman, their with their headphones and their cassettes. Well, I guess now their iPods.
Right.
Well, while it's not a horrible thing to keep to oneself when one wants, and that's important too, people can miss out on things.
And actually, in the book, I have a chapter, it's called Logging Off, and it's basically about setting some times when you just leave technology aside. And the way that I compare it is that if you see somebody that has the drone, and the drone's out there flying and having a great time and moving around, and then the human is stuck to the screen and the controls on the drone, so you got to wonder, you know, who's really having the best time or who's controlling who. And as I mentioned, I mean, it's not about discarding technology. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's just that there's a time when you need to put it aside. I mean, I'll give you an example. I talk about this in the book, and I say that I have my main cell phone when I get home from work, from the office in the afternoon. I leave it in the car, and I don't want to be looking at emails. I don't want to be looking at text for the rest of the day. But as I explain in the book, I know that some people might freak out because they say, well, wait a minute, I need to be, you know, accessible to my children, to my parents, to my siblings. Well, I recommend that you have a second, what I call my private line. So you just have a second phone just for emergencies. Maybe 4 or 5 people have that number, but at least you're not tied to email and text and things of that sort. Another thing that I mentioned in the book and Let's Talk is something I call the 100 hours of solitude, which means just going off, you know, by yourself 3 or 4 days and no technology and just kind of being with yourself. Because you were mentioning that we kind of forget to be with ourselves and kind of look within. And you're right, Chris. I mean, it's a matter of spending time alone sometimes, and I don't mean it doesn't have to be antisocial, but I'm just recommending you do it a couple times a year. You're going to get in touch with yourself.
At least take a hike or something, or
yeah,
enjoy a small walk or something like that.
Exactly.
But even when you're doing that, Art, sometimes it's the simple things like saying hello to someone who's passing you or crossing those paths, or perhaps looking at squirrels collecting acorns, maybe enjoying the weather or observing what's going on around a person. That's something people tend to miss out on when they're doing their power walks or when they're getting ready to go to work. And I know you said there were 8 hours of recreation time, but the fact is a couple of those hours and sometimes even more are hogged by commuting.
Yeah. That's completely true. And that's another thing I believe in when I'm in my car, and I don't have a long commute, thankfully, but, you know, I love to be in my car without any sort of music, without any news, without anything, just enjoying the drive. You know, maybe if the weather's good, you know, you pull down the windows and just enjoy the drive. But you're completely correct. It's just that we're willing to give up hours from the 8 hours of recreation when we really shouldn't. And honestly, you don't have to. Another thing that I talk about in the book is that race cars take pit stops. You know, we need to also, I mean, we're more sophisticated than a race car. So we need to take a pit stop during the day. I talk about the one wine lunch in the book. And of course, it's nothing like the three martini lunch that people used to talk about, because I don't know how you can have three martinis and go back to work.
No, that's a tough one. Maybe a couple of wines. Let's meet in the middle of all of that. There we go.
At the most, but just go, you know, the idea is you take an hour from lunch, because people have also kind of given up on their lunch breaks. Take an hour, you know, take a break, and that's your pit stop. You know, if you want, have a glass of wine. If not, you know, whatever, hot tea, whatever makes you happy. But the idea is to step away and take a break. And, you know, and in the book, I'm glad you mentioned, you know, just walking and seeing other people. One of my the two chapters in the book that I think are the most important, there's one on gratitude and another on kindness. And I really struggled with which of the two was the most important. I'll be honest with you, gratitude in my view won, but it was neck and neck over kindness. But I love that you mentioned that, just going out and smiling at people, you know, and I know sometimes it sounds cheesy, but it's the most human and kind thing you can do that makes you feel better. Just being kind and you know, offering somebody a smile. You know, you may be having a bad day, but maybe somebody else is having a worse one. And I just think being grateful and being kind, no matter how things are going, is so, so important. And it gets to that part in the book where in the subtitle, it's about making your life exciting, easier, and exceptional. I think that the hallmarks of exceptionalism, honestly, are simple gratitude and kindness. But you're a much bigger expert than I am on books. But when you look at, and for years and years, I've been reading self-help books, personal development books, because, you know, you always try to improve, but they're so complicated, Chris. I mean, one of the main masters, to call him that, and I won't mention his name, wants you to walk through hot coals to find yourself. I mean, for God's sakes, I'm just saying, hey, you know, go home and have a martini and relax and do everything with moderation, because I don't think that having that exceptional and exciting life has to be complicated. And that's why I really tried on the book to focus on making these, I call them talks, because I want it to be a conversation that I'm having with the reader. And I'm hoping that if they go on our webpage and we have an online club, that we could kind of have that back and forth, which is what I'm really, really striving for. But that they'll say, yeah, you know what, that makes sense. Or they might say, Art, you know, you're full of it on that one. I'm not going to follow that. That's completely cool. But they can just pick and choose some ideas that can make their lives that much better. But starting today, again, that's kind of my big mantra is, don't put it off, you know, because we don't know what might happen tomorrow. And if anything, you know, this pandemic, and I actually have a chapter on pandemics, and it's really about pandemics and how you deal with crises. But the reality is that the pandemic has given us all a nice reset to kind of, you know, stand back and say, wait a minute, you know, where am I going? And, you know, you have your plans and you're going along. And as I mentioned, you know, people say, okay, well, when I retire, I'll live the good life. You may never get there. So I think that that this has been a great reset for all of us. I think it might have, you know, God saying, hey, you guys need to slow down and for us to take stock of where we're at. But the reality is, I really don't believe that it's that complicated. I think that it's just a matter of thinking about it a little bit and then deciding What do you want? What makes you happy? I talk in the very first chapter of Let's Talk, I talk about pursuing pleasures. And that, you know, you read that or you hear that and you think it's something naughty or nasty. Well, no, it's not. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. But pleasure is just something that makes you happy. And there's nothing wrong with seeking happiness and seeking, you know, pleasures in your life. As I always say in the book, it's, as long as you do it with moderation and, you know, you don't hurt anybody. I just don't know why we've put it off. I'll be honest, Chris, and we should kind of get back to that because, you know, if the people that believe that we reincarnate are right, great, because we get a couple shots at it. But if they're wrong, then we only have one shot, and we might as well make the best of it.
Art Rios, a trial lawyer by trade, but a self-described student of humanity, is with me on Book Spectrum. His new book is Let's Talk, and it's about talking. It's about enjoying life and possibly unplugging, or even when you're plugged in, be nicer to each other. We're going to get into that in a little bit. One of your chapters is about something called the happy hour. When I say happy hour, listeners might think about the few hours after work at a discount price. You encourage readers to expand that definition to quality time with family.
Chris, I love that you mentioned that chapter because it's incredible how of the 15 talks in the book, I call them talks or chapters, for some reason the happy hour seems to be one that has resonated so much with people. And you're right, you're completely right. It is not about going to the corner bar where you for $5 you can get 57 beers and you know you get a
happy. That would be really happy hour.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is actually going back to the old days, you know, when in the 50s and 60s, happy hour was an elegant time. And, you know, you'd go home, you'd have a martini or two and spend time with the family, kind of take stock of what happened during the day. You unwind just before dinner. You know, it's a very spiritual thing to a degree. But there's nothing wrong with enjoying, you know, a couple of glasses of wine, a couple of drinks before dinner. But it's the actual taking away that hour and making sure that you don't let it run into the rest of your day, where you sit down with your loved ones, with your friends if you want, and just kind of decompress for an hour, and that's all you need. And then, you know, that's part of your 8 hours of recreation, but that's actually the perfect moment to end the 8 hours of responsibility and start with the 8 hours of recreation. But it's not about, sincerely, it's not about getting impaired. To the contrary, I say that that's the worst thing you can do, because then the rest of your day's recreation is going to be kind of shut down. So it's all about the elegance of the happy hour in the old days. You know, the martini people dressed nicely and they kind of sat and talked about their day. But I'm just really happy to hear you talking, and no pun intended, about the happy hour, because everybody seems that's a chapter that seems to resonate with a lot of people. But it's based, I mean, it doesn't even have to be alcohol. Again, if you want to have a cup of coffee or a nice hot tea, but, you know, I'll tell you, the wine seems to work much better.
I like this martini or wine idea, coming home with that and enjoying a couple of those. I guess we can call it the Dean Martin method.
Yes, that's precisely it. I mean, that is precisely it. And I'm going to tell you, that generation, they had it right, because they work hard, because thanks to them, we got ahead and the country did super well. But they also knew how to have a good time. And when you talk about Dean Martin, images of the Rat Pack comes to mind. And they were very hard workers, there's no doubt. And they were extremely successful people. But they knew how to have a good time. They knew how to have that balance. And at the end of the day, you know, that's really what it's all about. It's about having balance between your duties and your recreation. But as I mentioned in the book also, you know, if you love what you do and if you're in the right job and you're doing something that you're passionate about, it's really not work. So it kind of meshes, you know, from your responsibility to your recreation. But nonetheless, you still have to be able to say, hey, you know, this is the line that I draw. And again, I keep talking about those 8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours. But it's something as simple as starting that happy hour practice. And it's funny how I've had a lot of friends, and sometimes I'll invite friends over just to kind of get them into it. And they'll call me the next day, hey, guess what I'm doing? We're doing a happy hour. But it just kind of puts everything in perspective, and it's in the good times and the bad times also. It just kind of makes you realize, hey, as long as we're alive and we're plugging along, life is good.
Alex Rios, how about the one concept you put together as part of your talks? Decluttering your life. Now, I could use some decluttering in my office, but a lot of people, you say, need to do that to their lives.
Yes, I call that chapter, Chris, I call it kissing. And I, you know, people will think, oh my God, this guy's talking about, you know, romantic kissing and how to kiss and all that. Well, that's hardly it. It's all about what the U.S. Navy says. Keep it simple, stupid. And I got to tell you right off the bat, I mean, there's a gazillion books out there about making space and all that. What's important here, my take on it is, look, it's not that you have to deprive yourself at all. If you want good things, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with wanting good things and buying good things as long as you don't want to buy everything, you know? Give yourself a little space and kind of figure out what's really important to you and define the things that you want if you really want them, if you really need them, or if you can do without them and then with those resources – enjoy life more, maybe go on more trips. I don't know. Maybe I talk a lot about giving in the book. You know, I had a minister call me recently and said, look, Art, I really appreciate that you talked about that in the book because it's something that seems to have gone by the wayside. And I said, no, you know, Father, it's okay because I think that giving is a pleasure. Now, I also think, which sounds selfish, I also think that the more you give, the more you get, and that's not why you should give. But it's very true. And when it comes, and coming back to this kissing idea, and I talk about in the book about decluttering and then giving those things away, the reality is that there's things that you may have sitting in your garage, in your closet, that you haven't used for years, and that somebody out there could really use. You know, Gandhi said that you should live simply so others can simply live. And that's very true. But I am not talking about, you know, becoming a stoic monk and just having one shirt and a pair of jeans. I'm saying, no, you can have all your good things. Just, you know, at what point is it just too much? And then another chapter, which kind of goes with the kissing and keeping it simple chapter, is one that I call extra but not extravagant, where I talk about, listen, it's wonderful to enjoy life and to enjoy the finer things in life, but you just don't have to go to the extremes. You know, it's okay to be a little extra, just don't be extravagant. And that kind of gives you that balance in life where you can enjoy good things but still have resources left over for your savings, resources left over for savings for a rainy day. But I just don't think that you should put away all your resources for a rainy day that may never come, or to put them away for a future where you think that, well, you know, now I'm done working, I can just focus completely on enjoying life, because, you know, you may not be able to, Chris, at that point, you know, your stomach might not be able to enjoy all the foods that you want to enjoy. You know, maybe the wine doesn't process as good as it should. And saying this as respectfully and as adultly as possible, you know, maybe the genitals aren't up to par at that point. You know, if you wait till you're 70, 75. So I just think you should enjoy life now and not put it off. I had a lady call me the other day, which was just incredible. She was 65 and had retired. I think she told me 2 or 3 months ago, and she was feeling that she had accomplished nothing in her life. She was feeling a little down. You know, of course, the pandemic didn't help. But we started talking because she read the book, and she said, look, I really feel uplifted by this. And she was telling me, Art, I'm just not sure whether I accomplished much in life. And I told her, look, you're at a point now where you're moving forward. I'm sure that at one point, and we're coming back to that kindness idea, I'm sure that at one point you did something to help another person or to brighten another person's day. And that in itself makes for an exceptional life. But as I explained to her, but listen, look at life like it was a car. You know, in cars, we have a huge windshield so we can look forward to see what's coming up ahead, and we can just really have a clear picture of what lies ahead of us. And then we have that little rearview mirror. Yeah, you know, you want to look back to make sure that there's nothing horrible back there, but you don't have to be looking back constantly worrying about what's in the past or what's behind you. And at the end of the day, you know, that's really what it's all about. Just seeing where you're at now and starting to enjoy life now. And as I told her, you know, you were yourself. And that's another one of the talks in the book. It's about being yourself. We all have our unique gifts. And as long as we're doing our thing and we accept ourselves and realize that we're all super nifty, because Chris, you know, you're a nifty person, I'm a nifty person. Everybody that's out there listening has special treasures and attributes that God gave to us so that we could share them with the world. And that's all you have to do is be yourself. And if we all do that, we're going to get to that point where we are becoming exceptional, you know, as a whole, and everybody's enjoying life, you know. And this may sound pie in the sky, but it's a movement that just takes time. You know, it's an idea where it can't happen overnight necessarily. But coming back to the whole theme is, it doesn't have to be that complicated either. It's just a matter of being kind, of believing in yourself, accepting yourself. You know, I'll tell you, Chris, I'm a big guy. I always have been. You know, I've tried a gazillion diets. I lost a bunch of weight, and then I kind of got to a weight where I'm really happy. But I've never let that, you know, hold me back. And I think that people worry too much about their physical appearance, about where they're at as far as, you know, their career, where they're at with finances. Just trust in yourself, you know, and accept that who you are is what God needs and what the universe needs you to be. And what you do, Chris, and you're getting, you know, a message out to all your listeners about all these books and all these ideas, well, that's what you're supposed to be doing, and you do it super well, because people need to hear about different ideas, and then the ones that they decide that works for them, that's the one that they tag on to and they hold on to. So you're serving your purpose, and you have all the gifts, all the treasures, all the qualities that you need to do that. And as long as you accept it and say, hey, you know what, as I told you, you know, you're nifty, I'm nifty, we all are, and we don't put ourselves down, life can be a grand thing. It really can be. And again, it doesn't have to be complicated.
Alex Rios is with me on Book Spectrum. His book is Let's Talk. What we discussed before, disconnecting from technology, that's one of your major tasks in the book. It's a big one. You also say disconnecting from social media can make people happier. But what would we do without all of those armchair medical and constitutional experts we see in our news feeds? And all those amazingly awesome selfies of people telling them they did some everyday task with a mask on, because they have to have the mask now. Seriously, though, I'm pretty sure that the intent of social media was to help people from all over the world connect, chat with old friends, and meet more like-minded people. It wound up becoming a vast wasteland of political vitriol. Not even normal exchanges and ribbing, but loud, hateful exchanges. Still, curiosity of news feeds and what one might see on social media is quite the temptation. How do you suggest people try and ease off just a little bit of that? Because I know they have to read the book for the rest of it.
Sure. Oh, no. I'm happy to actually, and a couple of things come to mind. Because what I'm not advocating for is to totally disconnect or to live your life in a cave or not to want to be in the throes of social media and all that. But I think that the importance of it is disconnecting just enough where you're not a slave to it. Because I think that, and as you mentioned, people are just always on social media. You see, I mean, I in the book I talk about, I have two girls, my daughters, but when they were younger, they would text each other right across from the table, which is insane, you know? So I don't say that you need to completely walk away from technology, but that if you do, you know, if you turn off your phone for 5, 6, 7 hours, when you turn it back on, the earth is going to still be spinning, you know, and the sun is going to come up the next day. But in those few hours, you're going to disconnect from all that stuff that you're talking about. And I agree. The problem is also that the media and social media, because they have to feed all these people that are going to it, they have to keep, as they call, feeding the monster, and be it with positive or negative things. But there's stuff that has to be constantly going in. But we need to kind of step back and say, wait a minute, I don't need to be told, you know, what I should be thinking about today, or I don't need to be given images that I have to laugh at when I can spend time with myself, with my family, with my loved ones, with a book. You know, at the end of the day, just pick up a book and kind of decide for myself, or put images in my own mind about what's great about life. But absolutely, you don't have to completely divorce yourself from technology, not at all. Technology is a grand thing, and it's definitely helped us, and it will help us in the future, but we can't just let it overtake us, is what I'm proposing. I was speaking with somebody, with an IT gentleman the other day. He was helping me set up there's this new great tablet I got from Microsoft, and he was telling me, Art, you know, it's not that hard actually to simplify, because I told him, can you make this as simple as possible so I don't have a gazillion apps and a gazillion little bitmojis and all that stuff? And he was telling me, actually, it's really simple, Art, to just set up things where you don't have all that stuff. You can put them in different files and simplify so that your technology is easier to use. Which brings us back to everything about simplifying, making your life easier. And you can even cut back on what you have on your gadgets and what you have on your phones and all that, just so you're not a slave to it. Because, you know, at the end of the day, Chris, it is important, and technology is wonderful, and it's even allowing me to speak with you today, which I've enjoyed immensely, where in the past it wouldn't have been as easy. You know, we would have had to travel and all that, and your listeners wouldn't have had as easy a time as reaching out to us and being able to hear what we have to say. But just don't be a slave to it. You know, that's really what it's all about. And when you mentioned the vitriol and all that that's happening, and I'm very apolitical. I never get into politics in the book and in our webpage. If you go to our webpage, riostalks.com, it's completely apolitical. But there are some basic human kindnesses that we need to keep in mind. So we go back to that idea about being kind, about gratitude. There's a chapter in the book that talks about racism, and again, it's completely apolitical. It's got nothing to do with politics. The only thing is that I wish I could take credit for that chapter. It was actually spawned because my 18-year-old daughter, who's a freshman at Northwestern University now, she saw everything that was happening, and she was really taken back by it, and she said, Daddy, can you help me and just proofread a letter that I wrote to the family, to our family, about what's happening and why I don't like racism. And that whole chapter is an 18-year-old's take on what she's seeing and why she thinks that she doesn't have a platform to talk about it. But if she can only influence her family, it's important. And again, that goes back, kind of circling back to, I remember I'm a lawyer, so I tend to be long-winded, unfortunately, but it's circling back to the whole idea of keeping things simple. We don't have to have this mass message or this mass broadcast where maybe we can just influence our families for the better. It's not all about difficult subjects. It's just, they could be as simple as getting together during happy hour and chatting and all that. But keeping it simple and making sure that we're kind to each other and that we're not slaves to technology, I think that life is great, man. I really do. And I'm definitely optimistic, but I sincerely also believe, and that's what Let's Talk is all about, that life doesn't have to be that hard, that we can enjoy it, and we can enjoy it in a way that doesn't hurt anybody else. Your happiness doesn't have to detract from somebody else's. We should all be kind of in the same boat. And I know this may all sound very pie in the sky, but it's not. And if your listeners will read the book, I'll tell you that I'm going to give you guys an offer so you can get the book for free. I really want this message out there. But if you just read the book, and you'll realize, you know, it doesn't have to be that complicated. This Art Rios guy, he might have something here, because it isn't that hard. It isn't that hard, and we all have it in us. It's in our hearts. It's in our minds. It's in our souls. We all have it in us to lead better lives, and we've just forgotten it because technology does make things more complicated, and even we push ourselves more than we need to. So I'm hoping that message will resonate and that people can enjoy their lives more, especially now, you know, when we're facing this horrible health crisis, and it's a crisis that everybody's facing, that we try to look for the good in it, and I talk about that in the book, and there is good in it. I mean, there is good in it. People have lost relatives, and that's, of course, a horrid thing, and I don't mean to make light of it, but there's a lot of good that has come out of it as far as families coming together, obviously, communities coming together, and people helping each other. Because there is a lot of good being done out there. We obviously hear about all the tragedies, but but you know, the humanity is glowing right now with people that are helping each other and supporting each other.
Art Rios, I want to thank you for being with us here on Book Spectrum. Find out more about Art on his website, riostalks.com. That's riostalks.com. Links to pick up Let's Talk are also on our website, bookspectrum.com.